From the co-author of Attached, the book that reshaped our understanding of anxious, avoidant, and secure attachment styles, comes the new audiobook, Secure. Dr. Amir Levine's latest research shows that those with secure attachment styles feel more at ease, both in their relationships and within themselves. Learn how to rewire your attachment style and unlock stronger relationships, better health, greater resilience, and a more fulfilling life. Listen to Secure on Spotify now.
Today we're talking about manifesting abundance, but not in a way that you've heard before. It's not just mindset, not just strategy. We're going deeper into the energetic, emotional, and soul level pattern that either open you up to receive or keep you stuck in cycles of lack. Inna Sigal is back. She's an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer and the best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body. And for over two decades, she has helped people understand how their emotions, childhood imprints, and energetic patterns directly shape their health, their relationships, and their ability to receive abundance. So her work shows us something powerful. Your struggles aren't random. They're messages. And when you learn how to decode them, you don't just heal, you unlock a completely new level of alignment, purpose, and abundance. And today we're diving into the real steps to manifesting abundance from a soul and energy perspective. This is an interesting one, Inna. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I mean, I'm lying. I just told you about my struggle, but I'm on the up and up. So I feel like we go through those periods, right? It kind of ties into the topic of what we're talking about today. It's like going through these things to gain a better understanding and then attracting what we want. So we need alignment, right?
We do. And I also think that, you know, we go through cycles, and we also need to understand that there are times where we are going to be focused on something else. And like you were saying, like struggles and pain. And it's amazing that you're being honest about it as well, because most people just pretend that everything is perfect with them, right? And so I think that, yeah, there's different cycles and we need to honor all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're talking about manifesting abundance. This is huge. This is all I see everywhere is manifestation, how to manifest things. So from your perspective, people say they want abundance, but they feel stuck. Why do you think, what is your reason that people struggle to receive any type of abundance? What is your take on this?
Well, I feel like there's several parts to it. There's the internal part, which is a potential disconnect from certain aspects of themselves. So there could be an aspect of their inner child that is pushing this abundance away because maybe it doesn't feel safe, or it doesn't feel creative enough or exciting enough to receive it in the way that they are receiving it. So maybe they have a job that they hate. And so that there is a part of them that is saying, this is not the way. There needs to be a change. And there's anxiety and discomfort that comes in with that change. And maybe there's a feminine part that is saying, hey, I have so many ideas and I'm so creative, but you're not listening because you want to be safe from that perspective of doing whatever it is that you've been doing. So I'm going to not receive it like this. I refuse to receive because it's not what I want and it's not what I need. And I don't, maybe it's even, you know, at a point of, I don't know how to receive because I'm just a giver. I'm constantly giving, giving, giving. And then there could be a masculine part that is just not, I guess, not completing things, right? There are so many people that I talk to that self-sabotage by procrastinating, and they have every intention to continue to keep going with something. And then they just, you know, they just feed that procrastinator part of themselves too much, and they have constant excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many aspects to it. You talk about childhood imprints shaping what we believe is possible. So how do those early experiences affect our ability to manifest abundance?
Well, that's a great question. And it's something we need to explore based on looking at what was going on when you were a child. So what were your parents believing? What were they talking about, or the people that you were living with, right? What were they showing you? So were you showing abundance and that money was circulating and flowing? Were you showing lack? Were you encouraged in terms of that topic? Or were you constantly hearing about how money doesn't grow on trees, how it's so hard to get, how you have to work really, really hard for it? I mean, what were you hearing? How much of that did you absorb inside of yourself and then create? Because we absorb it and then we create it and then we believe it and we say, this is the truth, right? So we go, look at my life. Look at what's going on. I believe that it's true because it is, because I'm seeing it. And to work against it is not easy and can be a little bit uncomfortable from the perspective of the fact that most people go with the flow of what is easy, right? So if we look at how do we change this, we would need to become conscious of all those belief systems and we'd need to question them and then we would need to release them or transform them and also work with the child within us and work with that feminine and masculine. And so I actually created a course on it called The Secret Language of Your Soul. So it's almost like, how do we create a new foundation for ourselves? And the whole idea of it was to really look at those very, very important moments and points in our lives where we hold those beliefs and where we hold those limitations, but we don't remember necessarily or don't know that we do. And then to unwind and transform those, but then also to rebuild ourselves and to then create something very new and different in the future with the awareness that when you create something new, the old still keeps coming back, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so, so deep inside of you. And people often love using this word, the root cause, and at the root, I'm changing this at the root. And it's like, well, it's not how things work because you have already created a reality, right? For years and years, you've created a particular reality and now you're changing it. But there are many aspects of that reality that are happening. So you have to be internally flexible and you have to be a little bit disciplined.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense. My parents were such hard workers and I watched them both like hustle. I mean, we weren't rich by any means. And so when I got into the working world, I mean, we always received and they were very supportive, but I had this idea that in order to thrive, I had to hustle and I had to work my butt off. And I mean, that's really, really good because it gave me my motivation and work ethic. But then as you start getting older, you realize that you want something else for yourself. So unlearning that I don't have to hustle and work 16-hour days to make money was really, really hard. And I feel like I went through patterns of where that came easy to me. And then last weekend, for example, I had a hard time resting for a full day because my mind was telling me I should be doing something. And so there's that pattern of the discipline of no, like telling my mind that it's okay to rest. I don't have to be hustling all the time and getting out of that mindset. But you're right. Like it feels like it's like so ingrained in me to just be that way. I think the unlearning is the hardest part.
Yeah. Well, it is, and it's the unlearning, and it's also the learning of how to hold the abundance mindset, the abundance energetics inside of yourself. Because if you have a business, it will also go up and down because there's war in a particular country, right? And people get really scared and they stop buying and things like that. And people might say, well, don't buy into it. But the thing is, in business, if you are running a business, you do have to be aware of it. It's not even about buying into it. It's actually understanding that when you run your own business, you have to be on the ball. You have to be innovative. You have to be flexible. You have to try new things. And you have to understand, like I said, there's the internal part of you. And then there is the external, which is things are changing all the time in the AI world, right? And in the world of marketing. So if I look at how I started, for instance, and what I did to get clients to run workshops when I started, I can't do most of that now because it's not what works. And I feel like people get stuck on what they know and what they were comfortable with. And again, we're using that word comfort from the perspective of, you know, that worked and I loved it. And it was, you know, it was how they showed up. And it was my energy and people were attracted to me. And that is potentially the complete truth. But now we're in a world where you need more than that. And I think this is where people get frustrated and disappointed and potentially hold themselves back because there is a different way now and a different kind of system that or systems that we need to either learn or we need to find people who can support and help us, which is where attraction can be very powerful, where we go, okay, let me work with attracting and finding the right people to work with. And if I can give some examples, for me, for instance, I'm one of those people who loves working with a team long term. I feel comfortable with that. Again, the word comfort comes up. It makes me feel more productive, more safer. Again, that word comes up. And whereas my partner who I work with, he's the opposite in that. He loves innovation. He loves new ways, right? And new ideas. And so when we started working together and he helps with the marketing or does a lot of it, he would work with different people and I would get really stressed and uncomfortable. And I would say to him, I don't understand, you know, why do we have to find someone else? Because they actually cost quite a bit of money. Why do we have to find this person? Why do we have to, you know, why are we changing? And he would say, because we've learned what we needed to learn from that person. And now we need to open up to new possibilities, new ideas, new ways. And we were at a party recently and I was talking to somebody that I had known a while ago. And he was asking me some questions and I said, oh yeah, we've been traveling, like I was saying to you, Lisa, and doing courses and learning more about abundance and marketing and all of that as well from that perspective, from the perspective of running a business. And he said, I know someone who can really help you. And I had to stand there and breathe through it because there was a part of me that was going, oh my God, not another one. We've just found a new person. Not another one. Please don't tell me another person. And then as I became aware of that, I reminded myself of the fact that I have to be open-minded and teachable. And this is part of my constant working on the masculine inside of me and my inner flexibility where I'm open to hearing things that are uncomfortable that may require me to do something that I'm not wanting to do, but is necessary, let's say. And so as I breathe through it, in the next few days, and this is very, very important in terms of abundance, you have to take action, right? You have to recognize these discomforts and then you have to do something about it. So in the next few days, I was like, all right, I really don't want to look up this new person and listen to them, but I'm going to, not because I'm ready to go and work with them, but I just want to hear their ideas. Because a few weeks ago, I went to a course and I was there for several days. And, you know, it was, again, it was something that I didn't necessarily want to do, but I knew I needed to do. I needed to learn these new ways, these new things, because you have to be willing to change when it comes to learning how to receive and meet it, right? It's not just receiving. It's like, I have to meet it. I have to be, as you were saying, Lisa, aligned with how abundance comes to people now, how things work now. And so I just watched some videos from this particular person and I was like, wow, here's some really interesting ideas. I'm going to make some notes and then I'm going to talk to the people that I've worked with, because I have a team that I have worked with for many, many years who understand this and who help me. And I'll go, okay, what do you think of these ideas? And one of the people that I work with, he's amazing, because he'll go, yeah, like it. And I like this part of it, and this part of it will work for you, but this other part won't. So let's discard that and work with this. And this is how I've learned to feel, I guess, excited about building, because I have my people that are honest with me and can go, nah, no, you're barking up the wrong tree. But I'm also now open to listening to new ideas and going, all right, I'm ready to be there to help people, to support people. But I also want to receive abundance because I am worthy of it, right? I have worked hard in my life to get to this place, and I have a lot of wisdom to share with people, and I am worthy of receiving it. And I think both aspects are so important to work with. The internal one, that you are worthy. I am worthy to have the experiences that I'm really wanting to have, right? It's like an ownership of them. You know, it's a space that you create for them internally where they can come into your space and you can really, really receive it. And then there is the part where you have to be constantly willing to stretch, to be uncomfortable, to do something that is different, that moves you forward. And I love it. I just think that when you get the pull and the expansion, and rather than, you know, going into fear and anxiety about it, you go into, okay, why does this not work? And what can I do differently that will? And you have that mindset at the forefront of your mind, then things start to change and shift constantly. And it becomes exciting. But I also want people to be aware of the fact that it's not like a magic fantasy where it just flows and it flows forever, right? There's times where it does and the times where it doesn't, and because you have to face things, and some of those things are about money and some of those things are about you and yourself and you know, what's really deeply going on for you.
Yeah, 100%. I think most people that I speak to struggle with the actually feeling worthy. And so the like deep actual feeling worthy. It's like they want all these things and they want abundance, but at the root of it, they don't feel like they deserve it. And that's where a lot of people struggle. I know for me, I mean, I shared with you a little bit about my year, and in this current struggle, I lost that confidence within myself. And so anything I'm manifesting is fear-based. And so I'm still manifesting, but I'm manifesting only enough of what I need, because of whatever is purging through my body, whatever's happening to my body. And so how does the body hold on to scarcity, fear, or lack? And how does that show up physically or emotionally?
Well, it'll usually hold it around your gut or your solar plexus. It might also hold it around the reproductive system or the lower back. So you'll feel like you might want to go to the toilet a lot.
Right.
You may feel, or the opposite, like you can't go to the toilet. You may feel this sense of stuckness, and it's like you cannot breathe. You may have constant thinking happening inside of your head, so you can't fall asleep. So there's this internal chaos. Your heart may be affected because you might go into that fear of, I can't pay my bills. How am I going to pay my bills? And that survival mindset. So your body may just go into shock, or so you might have issues with your nervous system. Your hormones can get affected because you're in that state of stress and anxiety. You might revert back to childhood and feel that sense of unworthiness or limitation, and kind of like, what is it that I have to offer? I'm useless. I'm not enough, right? That I'm not enough type of way of thinking and feeling, because it's not just thinking, it's layered in these archetypes within our inner self. So the inner child, which has many ages and developmental stages, may show up as a teenager. And maybe as a teenager, you were at school and you were thinking of a particular career, and then your career counselor or your parents shut it down and shut you down. And so you made decisions and agreements with them and with yourself that you would never be creative, or you would never look at those things. And so when we feel weakened by whatever's going on in the world, by whatever is happening in our family or tribe, we start to bring up all of those suppressed aspects, and they come to the forefront because our sense of self and our I is not strong in that moment. So anything that we deeply feel that we have suppressed is there, and most people are much better at feeding what they don't want and don't like than they are working with what they do want, as we talked about early on. So what does discipline actually look like in this, in this scenario when you're weakened? It looks like sitting with whatever is coming up and questioning it and exploring where it comes from and what it's really about. You might journal, you might move physically, you might do a process if you have access to one, or you might even, find someone who can support you and who works with those types of parts or archetypes that can guide you through this challenging time. Because essentially there's a part of you that's looking for a breakthrough, that is saying, hey, I'm showing up at this time because I am ready to grow, right? Because these parts of you became stunted and now they need to grow so that you can show up again and start to create in a different way. And I also think that when we're struggling and when we're going through these challenging times, we need to be celebrating and acknowledging the smallest things, right? And we need to allow ourselves just to take little steps forward that we celebrate, rather than thinking, oh my God, I haven't done enough, I haven't taken the biggest steps. It's like, no, I am feeling oversensitive. I'm not ready for the big steps. And I always encourage my students to ask themselves that question. What am I ready to handle and how can I expand my field today? And we can also talk about the nervous system and how it works in terms of abundance or lack.
Yeah, I would love that. So how do people start releasing those emotional blocks? I'm a true believer in the dark stuff brings upon the light stuff. And so I think these phases that we go through are literally a shedding of that. And you need that in order to grow. I mean, people go to the doctor when they're feeling sick, right? So it's like most people have to go through these things in order to propel into the next thing. And so as much as struggles are hard, I find them exciting as well, because there's always something that comes from them. But I'd love to talk about the nervous system and some practical ways to release emotional blocks that are limiting us for abundance.
I'm going to say the first thing your body's asking you to do when you're in that state of overwhelm and overload is to have some rest. Because without having some rest, you will not move through some of the stages that you need to move through because you won't actually have access to your thinking, to your capacity to change your thinking. You'll just be in that anxiety mode. And so we do need to calm down. So the first step is actually coming back to yourself and calming your nervous system. And we can do that by standing up and shaking our body just to get that the tension and that energy out. And then by recognition and going within and scanning your body and asking questions like, what am I really worried about right now? And where in my body is that? And can I bring my hands to that part of my body and start to breathe into that part? And we breathe in very slowly and deeply. So we breathe through the nose and out through the mouth with slightly pursed lips, just to bring that calmness to the nervous system and to start to awaken something else, to start to awaken that wise self. Because when we're in chaos mode, our wise self is literally pushed away and asleep.
Totally.
You know, as we breathe through things, I mean, in my book, The Secret Language of Your Body, I give a lot of processes for clearing things. So you might focus on what is it that I want to let go of? Well, I want to let go of the belief that I'm not good enough and I can't do anything right. So you might work with a process where you start by saying, divine healing intelligence, please help me to release these beliefs. And you say to them, you know, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not capable. And ideally, you do that one by one. And then you might say, and all perspective connected with this and any other energy that I'm holding onto that is related to this, positive and negative charge, because I always want people to work with releasing the charge that's inside of them. And then you might repeat the word clear with that intention of letting go and clearing things. And as you repeat the word clear, 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 you may imagine or visualize a vacuum cleaner, literally vacuuming and clearing everything out of your system. So that's one way of doing it. And then you might rub your hands together. And when we rub our hands together, we're actually work with our circulatory system, our lymphatic system. We awaken our body, let's just say. And then you might go, okay, what would be a color that would calm my nervous system and potentially expand it? And again, I have color cards where I talk about this. I have The Secret Language of Your Body where I have a whole section on color that you can learn, you know, in terms of the qualities that each color has. So let's say we work with green because green is helpful with regenerating the nervous system. It's also quite calming and it also helps your nervous system expand and receive. So then as we play with this color and we strengthen it, we might go, okay, I want to expand my nervous system so that I can receive more abundance, so that I can feel more worthy. And I'm going to imagine these things as I have this ball of energy that I'm playing with in front of me. And so you might, again, take a moment to think about this or visualize what that may feel like, look like. And then you literally bring that image into that green light that you've been working with. And then you start to pour that energy. So the green light with all the positive energy, this is how we work with energy, right? With all of this positive energy into your nervous system. So into your spine, into the front of your body as you breathe it in. So really breathing that in, expanding, receiving. And usually once you've done a process like this, you'll feel so much calmer and your thinking will switch into receiving rather than into that fear-based, trauma-based sense of survival, right? That fight or flight, freeze response. The more we can work with our nervous systems and expand them, the more we can receive and hold. And this is actually something that I discovered when I was doing journalism and I met some really famous people and I was tuning into them and I was reflecting on the fact that their nervous system and their energy field, and the nervous system is actually intertwined with the astral body, with our body of emotions and desires, that their energy field and their auric field was way bigger than most people that I would meet, you know, in terms of the general population. And the more I tuned in, the more I became aware of the fact that if we want to receive more into our lives, then we have to work on expanding this field and expanding our nervous system and expanding our aura into that place of worthiness to receive. And part of this on a daily basis looks like somebody gives you a compliment, right? And you go, I'm going to receive the compliment. I'm not going to negate it. Somebody says to you, oh, I'm going to pay for something, you know, I'm going to give you a gift or I'm going to buy you this. And rather than saying no or arguing with them, you actually say yes to that. And you repeat to yourself, I'm worthy of this. I'm worthy of this. Yes, I can receive. And then you start asking for things. So you might wake up in the morning and you go, hey, I'm going to work with my divine intelligence and I'm going to ask this intelligence to bring whatever it is that you feel you can really and truly receive into your life. So that might be money, that might be support, that might be new ideas, there might be new opportunities. So you start to kind of play and be playful. You start to engage your inner child and you might go, okay, let's work together. Let's play together. I'm going to help you to have more fun in your life and you are going to help me to attract whatever it is that I want, because the inner child is amazing at attracting, but it will only do that if you are supportive of what it wants, right? So It comes like this little game of how do things get better today? Show me how things get better today, right? Because most of us are constantly thinking and saying, how do things get worse? How, you know, how is this going to get even worse than whatever it is that I'm experiencing? And very few people say, well, how does this get better? What is better? What does better look like? And most people take money and success very seriously and they don't play. So they actually create enormous amount of resistance. And they also believe that wherever they put effort is where things need to come from. And that's not how universe works. In my experience, I remember finding that whenever I was blocked or stuck in terms of having more clients, for instance, I would just call people that I have helped, not because I wanted them to rebook with me, but because I needed to balance the energy and be in the givingness as opposed to in the desperation of neediness. And that's it. The big key for a lot of people, you need to shift gears, you need to shift direction, and you need to be playful with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all really, really great points, and what a great exercise. Yeah, no one can manifest anything in a state of fight or flight. Like, it literally comes down to working on the nervous system, in my experience as well, which can be hard because it could take a really long time. Like, I've been working on it for so long, and I still have periods where I get these flare-ups, and it's so important to look after the body. Now, I want to ask you about intuition. So what role does intuition play in guiding someone towards opportunities, flow, and the expansion?
I love this question. It has a massive role, but people get confused with intuition and perfectionism. And what they think, based on this, I guess, this idea of magical thinking, they think that if I can just connect to my intuition, then I'm going to be given the perfect instructions on exactly what to do, and it's going to happen perfectly. And if it's not, then there must be something wrong with my intuition, something wrong with instructions, or something wrong with me. And they don't actually realize how life works. And life, right? Which is what you're talking about, Lisa. And life works in a way where you'll get an intuitive hit, right? But it won't be based on this is how perfection works. So for example, a few years ago, I ended up working with somebody, and it was very interesting because I had spent 5 years getting to know this person before I said yes. And when I said yes to working with her, I was very aware that she may not be 100% trustworthy. And I checked in with my, you know, intuition with whatever was going on in my life at that time. And it was a really strong yes to work with her. And I remember speaking to a very close friend of mine, and she said, "Ina, please don't work with her. I have such a bad feeling about it. She's going to take advantage of you and she's going to steal from you." And I said to her, "Now, you see, I'm already aware of this. And 5 years ago, I couldn't work with her because I could not have handled this. But now I'm aware that this may or may not happen because she's also gone through her own pain and growth. However, if it does happen, I just really deeply believe that the higher beings that I work with will guide me towards the next thing that I need to do or the next person I need to work with. So I'm good with that, because at the end of the day, I'm here to serve and to help people. And I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And right now," and it was around COVID, "she's giving me an opportunity, and it's an uncomfortable opportunity. She's giving me an opportunity to work online, and nobody else is. And I feel like I need to take a step towards it, because there is so much learning that I need to do from this person that I need to have. But I am aware that this may not be a long-term experience." So I came in with awareness that my intuition was saying, yes, you need to work with this person, and also that she cannot be fully trusted. So it was really, really interesting that when it came to the time where she showed her truest colors and she did what I thought she would do, but hoped she wouldn't, because I always like to give people that, you know, that opportunity, It was very interesting because I said to my partner and other people that I work with at the time, if I hadn't started with her, would you be able to help me in the way that you have? And he said, no, I would not have. Like, you had to work with her first to learn all of those things. And so I went, so it was worth it, right? And he's like, yes. Now, this is the thing that people don't understand, is that your intuition doesn't guide you to the perfect experience. It guides you to an experience where you may learn. It guides you to something that might be a karmic experience that needs to be worked on and transformed. It might guide you towards you knowing your own courage. So it's not perfect. It's not, it doesn't guide you to that perfect experience most of the time. Even though there are people who want us to believe that it does because they make money from it. And I'm one of those people that just wants everyone to have honesty, because from there, you don't fall apart. You just go, oh, I had to get here in this way, or I had to stop for a while. Because if I look at all the different things that I've created in my life, right? Certain things took a year, like my book, The Secret Language of Your Body, that sold over 1 million copies, took me 1 year to write. At the time where I was seeing clients nonstop, I had 2 tiny little children and a husband and, you know, this business that I was building and all sorts of things that were happening. And I don't know how I did it. Right? I think about it and I'm like, how did I do that? And then the next book took me 3 years to write. And then the book that you have in the back, Understanding Modern Spirituality, took me 6 years to write. And then the book that I'm writing now, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have it done within a year. And I'm definitely on year 2 with it. Right. So it's, you know, it's that thing of things don't necessarily happen how you think they will happen, how you imagine them to happen, just because your intuition, you know, got you there. Because your intuition is also getting you to a place where you need to grow the most, right? So it'll be like, this is not about, oh, everything flows and it's perfect. It's like, this is where the biggest growth is. And, you know, are you capable of this right now? Because essentially most people want to yes without doing any work. But what they don't realize is that if you got there super quickly and with complete ease, then you would probably fall apart, because there are so many parts of this wheel that need to come together for you to not just become successful, but to keep that success going. And the more you do it, the more intricate and complex it becomes. So that the fantasy of, I'm just going to do the things that I love and my intuition is only going to move me towards what I love, that's a fantasy, right? That's a fantasy. In the real world, to be really, really successful requires a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of time and capacity. That's my new word for the year. It requires enormous amount of capacity within you, as well as systems. And building towards this means building yourself as well as having teams and all sorts of things. So it's not just a fantasy. It requires a lot. And what I want people to realize is that once the seed comes into you, it can take many, many years for it to grow. The things that I'm doing now, I thought about 10 years ago, right? If not longer. And at that time, it was a fantasy. It was like, I have no idea how to do it. I have no idea how to get help for it. I have no idea what it involves or who the people would be that would help me, but the seed was planted. And then things showed up. And there was always that question of capacity. Are you capable of this? And there were times where I was not capable of it. And I was just like, let me rest. I'm not doing anything. I'm just putting myself back together because something painful or difficult has happened, or, you know, I'm trying to deal with whatever is going on in my private life. And that's what people need to understand. You have a personal life, and then you have the ability to co-create and manifest. And that ability expands based on you allowing yourself to nurture the seeds and then acting on that inspiration, and then finding the people that help you, and then expanding your nervous system to have that capacity, and then taking another step forward, and then taking three steps back, and then feeling at times like, why is this not working for me? Why am I a failure? And then working on those belief systems and figuring out where they came from and changing them and strengthening yourself, and then taking another five steps forward and feeling really good and allowing things to flow and being in the flow, and then crashing and then going, oh my God, what have I done wrong? And then strengthening yourself and becoming even clearer, even stronger, even more receptive, and then going forward and taking more steps forward and feeling like you deserve things now because you've been through the fire and you can own them more. And so playing with all of this. And then I'd also say that there are exercises that you can do for creating more abundance in your life. So, for instance, this is something that is an oldie but a goodie. Go to your bank and take out some cash, and then actually sit with the money. And it has to be done with the money. It's not a credit card type of exercise. And look at the money and connect to yourself and go, how do I feel about it? Do I feel like I want to throw it away? Do I feel tense? Do I feel anxious? What do I really feel about this? And then breathe and work with it and befriend it, and, you know, say, I like you, or I love you, or come into my life. I am willing and ready to receive more of you. I actually have an audio that is not very expensive on my website, inessiegel.com, where people can work with those types of processes for attracting more money, attracting abundance, expanding their nervous system, and so on. So I think it's called Success, Money, and Prosperity. So you can grab it there. But there are so many ways to do this. When you pay, try and pay with cash when you can, while you can. When you pay for, let's say, your groceries, take a moment and bless that money and ask for it to come back to you twofold, threefold, tenfold, whatever you feel you can receive. Eventually, you could do that with a credit card, but I feel like we need to start with getting really comfortable and familiar and feeling expansive when we handle money, not just the idea of money. So you actually need to have it on you. And every time you pay for something, rather than feeling like, oh my God, I'm losing money, I'm so stressed that I'm paying for it, what if you could go, I'm going to bless the money that I'm paying, even if it is just with your credit card. I'm going to take a moment and recognize that by paying this bill, I'm going to circulate this money around, which is going to improve my circulatory system. And I'm going to receive more. As I pay, I get more. So it's changing your perception. And it's also recognizing that when you have less, it's okay because more is coming. So it's that, oh, okay, I don't have a lot at the moment, but I'm not going to stress and focus and build this part up that says, well, you're always going to have less. Look at you. Let's judge you against everybody else. They have a car, you don't. or they have a particular type of a car, they have this money or this house or this thing that you don't have that you can't afford, let's minimize you and make you feel as small as possible, right? Because the more you have those thoughts, the smaller you feel, as opposed to, okay, I don't have a lot right now, but what is possible? I don't know what's possible. Let's play. How can I receive more? How can I open myself up to more abundance and prosperity and celebrate it?
That is amazing. Thank you for speaking truth about manifestation. Because if I literally open up to social media and hear one more person say that I can literally wish my whole life from laying in my bed and not doing anything, I'm going to vomit. So not realistic.
It's only people who, you know, who want to make money from being dishonest because it sounds good, but it doesn't work. It has never worked. And the people who say it have worked their butts off and have massive teams that help them to create videos or things like that that make you think that it's so easy and simple, but it's not easy or simple for any of those people. And I just want people to know the truth because they get so discouraged and disappointed that it's not as easy for them. And there is so much for those who where it is easy, there is so much to it. It looks easy because it's not. I've met a lot of these people. It's not as easy as any of them make out. And some of them are actually involved in a very dirty business. And we're seeing this coming out now, you know, including people in this industry.
Absolutely. We definitely are. Definitely opening up my eyes. This has been such a powerful conversation. Is there any last minute thoughts you have on the topic today?
I think the biggest thing that I'm going to say is that you need to build yourself internally so that no matter what it looks like for you in your bank account, in the external world, you have enough of an internal investment that when you have challenging times or challenging moments in your life, you can still come back to that internal strength and you can go, okay, let's be creative. Let's start again. It's okay. I've had my time where negativity or limitations have come up. Let's play with this universe. I am courageous. I'm strong. Show me the next step. I'm a big believer in steps. Show me the next step. I don't know it. What is the next step that helps me? But as long as I keep coming back to my heart and the why. So yeah, the why of what it is that I want, and that why has integrity in it and it has strength in it and it has that passion and purpose in it, new doors will open up for you. But if you're doing something just because you're afraid or, you know, you're in that survival, this is where it could be challenging and you need to keep bringing it back to what's my why? What's my real why of what I'm about? Like, what is the reason that I'm here? And if the reason is strong enough, you'll keep going no matter what and you'll find your way. But I'm not going to lie and pretend that it's easy, because there's easy moments and then there's also very challenging moments.
Absolutely. Thank you, Inna, for this real raw conversation. It was really amazing. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. And as I think I mentioned before, you can find a lot of help and audios and in masterclasses where I talk about this and give you some more processes on my website, innasiegel.com.
Amazing. And we will make sure that we have that linked in the show notes for the audience so they have easy access to that. If there's one thing to take away from this episode, is that abundance isn't something you chase, it's something you become available for. And so when you start listening to your body, healing those emotional patterns and aligning with your soul, everything begins to shift. Not just what you receive, but how you feel, how you show up and what you believe is possible for your life. Again, we will have Ina's information in the show notes feed up, access to everything she discussed today and so much more. There is so much on there to learn, so much growth to happen. So check out her website and stay tuned for the next episode. Take care, everybody.